All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, coming at you live, 1040 O Street. The Mecca of Sports Radio here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and the state of Nebraska. Lincoln, the capital city. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, and also 168th and Maple up there in the Metro, a.k.a. the O, Omaha, whatever you like to call it. You know, a little bit of a break off of the segue that we had, or the segment that we had last is about, you know, playing, you know, what you fight on expectations. And the reason why I bring it up is because, you know, when I coach, I always try to look at different coaches when I coach club basketball or coach sports or train kids or mentor kids. So you always feel like I'm trying to learn. Right. And, you know, I watch a lot of, European soccer and watch all the Netflix and Prime, Amazon Prime, you know, season documentaries of the teams, how they team build, how they motivate, how they coach, how they talk to different players, how different club teams over there, as far as soccer goes, have different expectations and how they, you know, allow players to thrive or maybe some wilter under those pressures. And you know, always, you know, big fan of Nick Saban and, you know, what championship mindset is different. You know, I have friends that work in different schools, in different roles. So I always try to be in contact with them just to kind of just pick their brain a little bit. Just number one, just from learning, but then also checking how they're doing, but just to have a better view when I talk about things and not about myself or what we did, talking about what they're doing because it's working, and see if there's anything that's comparable, right? There's a lot of comparables, right? And you can look at the champions. I always say like this, if you look at the teams that won the national championship, and when you show me a team that isn't physical, don't play with good fundamentals, don't play for something bigger than themselves, that are champions, that win national championships, let me know.
They got lucky.
But I haven't seen any recent. And so, you know, that's not dead. And so that's really what kind of made the 90s, you know, a great run, right? There's been great runs before at Nebraska. There was a few years of great runs, even if you want to say, you know, the 9 wins of Bo Pelini, that's obviously right now was a great run, different time than college football. And I will tell you, college football is different in the sense of NIL, transfer portal, all the other, there's a lot more you have, you can, you know, make money for social media. There's a lot more distractions. I'm not stupid, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have my head in the sand and thinking like it's not different. But football's not different.
Right.
It's not. You really don't play more. You don't play more plays than we play. You know, we were just blessed enough that we beat people bad enough. We didn't have to play. You didn't play more plays than we did. And I'll let you on a little secret. Coach Osborne was snapping that ball with like 18 seconds left. We were getting it in. Mm-hmm. That's how we're wearing teams out. So, when you talk about teams that play tempo and all, tempo was nothing to what we were, and that's okay. That's it. Now let's get back to like championship seasons, right? 95. First of all, 95 team is easily in the top three teams of all time. It's definitely not three. Might be two, right? Or if you say top four, they're just one of them. There wasn't a lot of issues, obviously, right? There just wasn't, right? I mean, let's be honest. So that's not a good example. But I will tell you, let's go to back to 96 or 97. 96, 97. We were in some battles, man. We didn't play well at times, especially defensively. We didn't. Mm-hmm. We didn't play well. We were transitioning. We had a lot of young guys. We had Ralph and Mike Brown back there. You know, kind of like a merry-go-round at one corner spot. We were taking guys, moving all the way around. We just didn't play. Sometimes we didn't play well. We choked against Texas. Right. So this is what I'm saying is. People think that some guys from the 90s, like we didn't ever play, like not play. We didn't play well. So we had a game like Illinois. Here's the difference. We were able to get it together at enough. We were able. Here's the difference. Okay. All right. Obviously, if you take this year's team, and I'm not comparing. So Everybody just pump the brakes. I'm not comparing. But if you just compare the games. This year's game against Illinois, 97 game at Missouri. Okay. Right? Both games, I can talk about my personal experience. I felt like defensively we didn't play well, right? Now, there was other factors in it. At the end of the day, we didn't play well. I feel like this defense against Illinois didn't play up to their standards, and they'll tell you didn't play well. Mm-hmm. So there's no lies being told. Here's the difference. Once we got into overtime, we had veteran presence, and we started to play better towards the end. But we didn't – the whole game, that's not a good game. Right? In overtime, we were able to find that extra gear. We were able to finish. That's the difference. Everybody's like, okay, you beat Missouri. It was a tough game. You damn right that was a tough game. You looking out there and we got to go 60-something yards and they know we passing. We're not a passing team. And we get down there and we make a miraculous play and Matt Davidson, Johnny on the spot, you talk about always chase the ball. Boom, there you go. Now listen, it worked out real well for him. He's doing well. But that play, right, you just never know when it's going to be your play, right? We get into overtime. Coach McBride was talking to us. We looked at it. It's like, don't worry about it. This is over. And it was a straight annihilation. It was Mike Rucker, Grant Wisdom, both them guys from Missouri, destroying it. And then, you know, I think me and Jason got in on a play. They tried something. It was just over. Missouri had no chance. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference between – you know, two games. Now, granted, I'm not comparing the teams. I'm just comparing the situation. So I always feel like being on the radar, you have to be realistic. And we were great, right? And that has nothing to do with it. But part of being, we were able to get us over some edges when we were backed up against the wall. Now, granted, we were farther along as a program. But look, at the end of the day, we're farther along as a program, and we had to go and dig it out. Mm-hmm. These guys are just getting started. So it can be done in your own way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's not going to change. You're not going to – it's got to be done the right way, and it takes what it takes, man. I'm telling you. People always ask, like, what does it take? It takes what it takes. Mm-hmm. If it takes you not being able to hang out with your family and friends for a football season and you not being able to go and do stuff, it takes what it takes. It takes what it takes what we do, mm-hmm. right? You had to make sacrifices. I got to make sacrifices. It takes what it takes, dude. If you want to, so that's the magic potion. It's like unlimited. There is no limits. Once you start to get that unlimited in there, then you could think about, okay, this game against Indiana, let's dive into that. It's going to be a challenge. They're a good team. They're well coached. And I said this when I was talking about it. I was up one night. I used to text Austin all the time, but since he got low, and I kind of leave him alone. But
and
I was
he's up, in bed at 8:15, yeah. So I'm good after that.
Yeah, so I was up one night, and you know how they do the spring game replays? I was like, let me see what this Indiana stuff is. You know, let me see. And I was impressed. Like, I was like, man, they had two or three quarterbacks. The spring game was kind of simulated, but it was kind of like Matt Rule. It was real, like, detailed. It was quick and efficient. They knew what they were doing. They had their ducks in a row. And Indiana is a little bit different because I talk to Rhett Lewis all the time. And big shout out to Rhett, who did an interview. It's going to be played Friday. Be on the lookout for that, man, because Rhett's a former Indiana Hoosier. Great player at his time. I know him from doing some stuff on other networks and stuff. Appreciative for him giving us 20-25 minutes. It's a great interview because it gives you some in-depth analysis of Cignetti, his coordinators, his players, and how he's able to transition it. But before that, me and Rhett obviously doing some stuff together, we were going through the same transition, right? Tom Allen struggling, start out hot, struggling a little bit, COVID and all that. We were there because we were talking in between segments. And it was funny. He's like, I said it on the recording. I said, Rhett, remember, you ever see the Hot Wings Challenge? Those two guys look at you and he says, look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought? Well, that's what I said to Rhett. Who would have thought last year at any point in time, Nebraska at Indiana, big noon kickoff? Nobody would have. So when you think about this Indiana team, they got a good quarterback. He's legit. He's been successful. He can play pitch and catch. He knows what he's doing. He's very like cool, calm, and collective. He knows when he makes good plays and when he's, you know, the times he hasn't played well, he's been able to get it back on track. Their defense does a lot of stunting. And so that's what you get when you a lot of the FCS schools, they got to manufacture pressure. They got a couple good pass rushers. And they do a really good job of, here's what they do, right, for people out there. So I always try to explain things football.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Football is a very complex sport. But I will always try to explain it to you as if we're at a bar and I got a pen and just a napkin. And you can take that napkin and bring it out while you're watching this game and see if it holds shows true. Mm-hmm. Here's what Indiana does on offense, defense, and special teams. So most people try to scheme up things for coverages. They scheme up things for weaknesses of your, whether it's a player and then obviously a coverage. So what they do is they do a lot of stunts on a particular side of the offensive line if they feel like they have a advantage of, whether it's experience or just individual matchup. And it's been able to create havoc. The reason why they have a high sack total is because they've been playing ahead. When you're up 70 something to nothing and all that, you know,
teams are passing.
Yeah, your teams are passing. But the one thing that he's done is he's pushed them to understand what the word finish is. So here's what Indiana does. They generally start pretty quick. They've been lucky enough. I was talking to somebody about it where, you know, they took the ball down, scored against UCLA. UCLA gets it, fumbles the first play of the game on a simple, like, handoff. Thank you. Now you're down 14-0. So all the momentum is on the road team. And a couple other times, you know, Maryland had them, then decided to just go to whatever playbook that was that they ran. It was like the fan option playbook, and it was not good.
XFL fans call plays kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like NIL deal, you know, or something. And then Northwestern did the same thing, kind of beat them up at front, ran the ball decent, started passing, kind of go back and forth. And then they tried to get into a quick strike attack against it. That's not Northwestern's game. So it's kind of worked out for them. But what they do is they try to attack, you know, different players, different areas. And, you know, as long as you're able to hold yourself, your head above water, they will give you a chance. And so will the quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he will throw you some, like, here, Austin.
Take it. I would like you to have this one.
So what they do is they start fast. Now, if they're beating the teams by 70 points, you can't really like judge them off of that, right? It's good that they were had everybody in there and they all kind of were successful. They've generally started pretty quick. Now, some has been by circumstance, but you got to give them credit. So that lets you know their first 15 plays has worked out pretty good. But then they'll give you a chance to go back in the game and sometimes give up the lead. What he does, what they do right now, and this is what you have to understand. What they do, whether when the game's close, they feel like they can finish you late.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've done. It's close, close, close. They feel like the continuity between the offense or the head coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. They know each other. They know exactly what they want. Cignetti says with their defensive coordinator, he kind of just leaves them alone, let them do what he does. And so he's able to CEO and then kind of oversee the offense. And that's kind of where his bread and butter is. And so he's able to have two sets of eyes on a offensive staff, obviously with the head man, and then obviously special teams. But they try to finish you late. And they not only try to finish you late, they try to extend the lead late. So that's like there's going to be like three or four segments in this game. It's going to be the start, the middle or late first quarter, middle of the second quarter. I want to win that last 6 minutes, and I want to win those right there. I want to start win them all, but let's be honest. Yeah. Okay, we got to win those. We want to finish strong going into halftime. And then you come out in the second half. You still play aggressive, play what you see, play your coverages, and you know they're going to make adjustments. And then it's going to be that tricky part to where they're either going to try to do a trick play on some form or fashion in offense or special teams. You withstand that, and then you bury them. All right? So as much as they sold this crowd out, it's actually an easier crowd to dictate to. These guys, they don't know what it's like to have this type of stuff. They're just there because it's, oh, man, these are the guys are doing, but we better go before they start losing, right? That's exactly what they're thinking, right? Well, the best way to do, okay, you want to, look, everybody's going to be, like I say, people, when both teams run out of the locker room, they're going to be, there's no way they can be more motivated at that time. That's motivation. Mm-hmm. Nebraska's going to come out, I guess, first. You'll hear the boos. They'll have the big screen or whatever going up, and here comes Indiana, Cignetti, and Google Me and all this, and they'll come out there, and they'll be ready. They'll shoot off fireworks. They're going to be highly motivated. Well, then here's what we got to get in between those white lines. We got to see what your discipline is. We got to see how much you really want to play football, like real football. They haven't been challenged enough to play real football. It's credit to them, and we're not taking anything away from them. But let's see what you look like when you're looking against somebody that's we're going to play four quarters.
And that, to me, is the onus that's on Nebraska, is to play four quarters.
Right.
Nebraska's gotten away with playing a half or playing 45 minutes of football. And sometimes it's, a quarter, but sometimes it's just 15 minutes in pockets, right? Three minutes here, 4 minutes there, 2 minutes here, 6 minutes there, whatever that math works out to be. If Nebraska wants to really, truly put that pressure on Indiana, make them finish you. Yeah. Right? That's the key difference, I think you said there, between Nebraska and Indiana, is Indiana doesn't just look to maintain the lead, they look to add on to it.
Yeah.
What is Matt Rhule said? That's what he wants Nebraska to be. It's why Nebraska's lost games it's led in the past, because it's just hoping to hold the status quo and run out the clock. Matt Rhule said earlier this year, too, we want to get a big lead, we want to be boring.
Yeah.
That won't work against this Indiana team. Maybe your defense is good enough because it's not something Indiana's seen before. Maybe you have better players than Indiana's, faced from an opposing defense before. Okay, well, guess what? Guess how confident they are coming off a 6-0 start, right? Yeah. They're going to feel good about their ability to put points up on the board. So that's a challenge for the defense. Hey, put these guys in their place. They're not as good as they think they are. You're the better unit. Go prove it. But if you're the offense, here's a chance for you to bust out. I don't want to call it a slump necessarily, but go from being fine, adequate, average, to we can keep pace with an offense that's scoring 35 plus a game. This is your moment to, if Indiana gets one, go get one back away.
Yeah, or just systematically get it back.
Sure. Next possession.
Next possession. This is the time I want to bleed these guys. I mean, this is a game that we're, I guess for whatever reason, guys worry about what time they play. I've never heard of it. I just never understood. It's like, here, you want to hear a funny story before we go to break? When I first moved to Minneapolis, this is funny. This is when I kind of first seen the little gangsterism out of my dad. And so I was a new kid. I just got there, and, everybody kind of heard, Chuck Foreman's son's coming. And, I was a skinny kid, big old glasses and stuff. And I had, my dad, He didn't give me a backpack book bag. So I got, you know, I'm late. First of all, I didn't even start school on the first day, you know, because I was moving, yeah. You know, so come in there and I got books, like trying to go to my locker, you know. It's, first of all, dad dropped me off late. He's just, you know, just bootlegging it, you know.
So, that you right, up for success.
Yeah, get out. Yeah, figure it out on your own. And there was this dude, man, he was a hockey player, man, and this, he was like, you know, I was in sixth grade or whatever, seventh grade, and, you know, he thought it was cool. He was, man, he punked me. He, like, I had this stuff, shoved me up into the school announcements everywhere. Everybody's laughing, this, this, and this. Happened for a couple days, and, my, you know, my dad asked me about it. I think he heard about it because, you know, whatever. So he asked me about it, and I told him. He said, he said, listen, I don't care what time of day it is tomorrow. When you see that dude, you better fight him. Right? And I'm like, he's like, I'm dead. He's like, do not come home until it's done. And the point is, it shouldn't matter when you got to show up ready for a fist fight or be making them get ready for a fist fight. Come whenever time the game is. 11. Now we know it's at 11. I don't care if you're playing at 2:30, 3:30. Central Standard Time. I do not care what time it is. Is it noon, right?
Noon Eastern, yeah. 11 Central.
It's got to be on.
That matters to fans.
Right.
That's it.
You know, and yes, there are better times and stuff like that. But you got to be motivated to go. This is a great opportunity. You know, I wouldn't be intimidated by the situation or anything like that. So, you know what we'll do?
Before we go to break, what happened to the guy? You beat the hockey player?
Oh, yeah.
You made it home that night? I figured. Oh, yeah. I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, I was scared, though.
Until you were in there. And it's like, it's on.
Well, then you seen him. I was like, well, hey. I wasn't going to take no. He's like, I don't even care if you lose. Just so it's more. Game. Yeah, he's just more or less teaching you a point about, you know, you got to be right. You know, he's, you know, I was kind of, hey, look, man, I'm a grown man. I was soft as hell. You know, so. I think the best thing that you could do when you're on the radio is not always try to tell you like everything that was great. Yeah, I was soft as hell. I was scared as hell. But I was so scared. I was like, my dad was like, you going to do it whether you like it or not. You know, he even had my grandma backing me up, you know, backing him up. So I knew I had to do it. Grandma said it, man. But we'll take a quick break. Come back. Talk about the, you know what we're going to do, Austin? First of a little bit, couple minutes, we're talking about the anatomy of what it takes to go and win a game like this, right? And then I'm gonna talk about what it's like to get traded and talk about the NFL, how it went for the, you know, Devontae and Amari. I've been through it myself twice. It's a very interesting process. I love you, Greg Williams. Not so much Tom Donahoe, but you still my boy, though. Anyway, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.